This last week, my dad sent me a video. And most of the time when my dad sends me something, it's going to be pretty funny. He and I have a similar sense of humor, and so it's usually worth my time. But this time, he sent me the video, and he said that it troubled him. So it, of course, piqued my interest, and I checked it out. I wouldn't say the video is the most exciting thing in the world. For the most part, it was just a guy talking into a camera. But even though it was kind of bland, I could see why it bothered my dad. And afterwards, I watched it, and then I talked to him about it, and he told me it seemed like they took the gift of the resurrection and turned it into the power of a Christian, especially when it came to divine healing, speaking in tongues, and such. I bet you can probably sense why that sort of thing might bother my father. And I'm glad that he was able to catch it as he was watching that video. But there's a little bit more to this story. Maybe you know, if you've ever been on YouTube, that when you watch a video on YouTube, they give you like suggested videos on the side so that you can kind of go to something else next, and it's probably related in some way to whatever you just watched. Well, I started clicking on videos and went down this weird rabbit hole of people trying to explain the resurrection, and a lot of it was kind of mind-boggling. One video that I clicked on, it was like the third or fourth one, there was this guy who, again, just talking into a camera, but this is what he said, and I think it sort of summarizes everything that these videos were teaching and even that video that my dad had sent me. That guy said, "If you don't let that man rise within you, then you will remain good and dead. That part of you, which has been kept dead for too long, it's time to raise it. Whatever we are referring to as Jesus is not about some man 2,000 years ago. It's about a certain possibility within every human being." And that is the kind of thing that's mind-boggling. That human beings would try to take the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and make it into something that it's not, into some sort of source of power. And they don't mean the comfort that the resurrection gives us. They mean an actual source of power, the ability to do miracles and speak in tongues, the kind of things that the apostles were doing. And this takes place a little bit before the lesson for today that we're looking at from Acts chapter 3. But Peter and John did do a miracle. They were in the temple one day where they would go and worship God. As they were walking along by one of the gates, they saw a man who had been crippled from birth. He had never been able to walk. Peter gets his attention, and then he says this, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he does. Instantly, the man is able to stand up, his legs become strong, and he starts walking around and jumping up and down and thanking everybody, thanking God, praising God. He even like embraces Peter and John and won't let them go. And all of the people who see this, they are just amazed. So Peter addresses the crowd that is gathering now that this man has been healed. And Peter doesn't say something like, "Look at me, I unleashed the possibilities within myself and tapped into a source of divine power." He doesn't say that. Peter actually rebukes the crowd. He says, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" If anyone thinks that the power of the resurrection is that God gives some sort of mystical power, or that you somehow have to figure out how to tap into some source of power, Peter squashes all of that. He says it's not about him, it's not about John, it's not about their own power. It's not as if they're somehow closer to God. There is real power in the resurrection. But in general, it's not the kind of thing the people of this world are looking for. Instead, it's very much the kind of thing that they probably consider worthless, that they consider kind of empty and pointless. And that's why Peter doesn't point them at the miracle. He does sort of a 180, and he points them elsewhere. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. If the people were looking for power, if they suspected that maybe Peter and John could unlock some latent supernatural ability within them, they were out of luck. But they could look inside themselves, and when they did, they would see just what Peter points out. They would see that they had handed over God's chosen one, that they had disowned him before all of the world's leaders, that they had disowned him even before God, that they had preferred a murderer like Barabbas be released to them than God's innocent son, and that they had killed the author of life. They could look inside themselves, but they wouldn't find a single good thing. Because within us, there is no power. Human beings, we are empty and worthless. If we look inside ourselves, we're not going to find some ability like those videos were teaching. It's not like we can plug ourselves into God like a person plugs an appliance into the wall and then suddenly we can start doing miracles. If we look inside ourselves, we'll find that we are empty. And if we do find something, we'll find something much more like what the Apostle Peter points out. Inside of us is the darkness of disowning God and killing him with our sin. That's what we find when we look inside of ourselves. It is not power. Although you could say this is a kind of power, it's just not the power to do miracles. It is the power, the capability to commit a sin like this, like handing over the Son of God. And if the capability, the aptitude for that sort of sin lives in us, and it does, then that means that there is no sin that we cannot commit. If you want to know the power of Jesus' resurrection, and I hope you do, this is where you have to start. You have to start with the recognition that you are empty and powerless, that you are capable of committing any sin, that the power of any sin lies within you. Because otherwise, God is a liar. It is God who has said, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." No one. Not even one. Not even you. You are not an exception to what the Bible says about sin here. And I hope when you hear that, I hope that this message has not lost its effect on you. When you hear this, does it sadden you? When you admit and recognize that you have this deep sin living inside of you, does it break your heart? Or has perhaps the message just lost a little bit of its effect? Maybe this law of God does not pierce as deeply as it used to. Has the wound scabbed over so much that you don't even really feel it anymore? And if so, does that mean that Easter last Sunday didn't have as much joy for you? The law of God, it should pierce us to our core. In fact, it should kill us. Because when it does, then we can know the power of the resurrection. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Peter points again and again to Jesus. Jesus is the one who was crucified. Jesus is the one who has died. Peter just did an amazing miracle. But he doesn't point to it. He still wants to focus on Jesus. Peter wants to talk about faith. Because Jesus is the one who has that power to heal. And through faith, that power came to this man. Everything comes through faith. Even the faith comes to us from Jesus. God is the source of all good things in the world. It's not me, it's not you. It wasn't Peter or John. All of it came from God. Peter looked at this man and told him that he could walk, and the man believed and trusted that Jesus could do that, and then he was able to walk. He was able to get up through faith. Jesus healed him. We human beings, we are empty. We don't have that power, and yet, through faith, Jesus is able to fill us. He can pour infinite blessings into us. He's the source of all of that. For this man, the power to be healed, to finally walk, it came to him through faith, came to him from Jesus. What we see in the Bible is that faith is like holding out your hands to receive from God. And God pours blessings into your hands again and again. He doesn't stop giving. The power of the resurrection, that also comes by faith. The power of the resurrection is like what happens to this man here. The world, it wants something that's flashy. It wants a glorious display of power and might. But the power of the resurrection is not like that. It's a quiet thing. Just think about the fact that Jesus on Easter morning didn't explode out of the tomb. No, the women show up and he's already gone. When he appears to his disciples later that night, it's like he sneaks in. They're not even aware that he's there until finally they recognize him. The power of the resurrection is a quiet thing, and your faith receives it quietly. But that doesn't mean that it's any less important or less powerful. Because when the law of God kills you, this resurrection power, it renews you. Peter says, repent then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. It refreshes us. It renews us. It raises us from spiritual death, and one day it will even raise us from physical death. This is the renewal, the power of the time of refreshing that Peter talks about. And he brings up that word repent, and to be honest, that is what we've been talking about through this entire sermon, repentance. It is that sense of sorrow, that heartbreak that we have when we recognize that we are sinful. And I hope that truly saddens you. That is the first step of repentance. The second step is faith. Faith that trusts that Jesus has paid for your sins, and through him, you receive the forgiveness of sins. That is the power that is poured into you. It's just like this man. Through faith, he received the power to be healed, and then he was, instantly and powerfully. And just think about what he did next. I mentioned it earlier. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When your sins are wiped out, when faith grasps that resurrection power, then comes the renewal, then comes the time of refreshing. And this isn't what the world's looking for. To them, this is something worthless, but it is what we need. We need this resurrection power. We need it poured into us. We need our sins to be wiped out. And that's what we find that we receive through faith. Our sins are no more. And this man, when he's healed, he does what just comes naturally to him. Isn't it amazing that this man who had never walked before, who had just been healed, not only does he finally receive the strength, but Jesus also gives him the ability to walk. He doesn't need to go about learning, going through the process like a small child. He just knows how to walk. Jesus does a similar thing for you. Through faith, you do what is natural. You respond to this wonderful blessing that God has given to you. It's praise. It's thanks. It's living a life that honors God for everything that he has done for you. And even that is a gift from him. So live out your faith. That is my encouragement to you. Because living your life in a way that is praising Jesus is refreshing. Be like this man who was healed and then just went about walking as if he had been doing that his entire life. Go out and do the good things that God has given you to do, whatever they may be. Because if the people of this world want to see power from within a Christian, those quiet good works are the best thing that they can see. Because it points them back to Jesus, just like what Peter did. Peter knew it wasn't about him. It wasn't about John. It's not about you. All of this is from Jesus. Amen.